My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy. He is a member of both of the House committees that have spent a great deal of time looking into the Fast and Furious investigation. He's a member of both the House Judiciary Committee and the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. It was the latter committee, chaired by Daryl Issa of California earlier today, that began and eventually voted out a contempt of Congress citation against Attorney General Eric Holder. It had been thought that that might be delayed since Holder was having a meeting yesterday with Issa and the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Charles Grassley of Iowa. But what we found out this morning is that Holder has now asked and been granted executive privilege from President Obama for the remaining documents subpoenaed by Congress. Congressman Gowdy was among several Republicans today who are outraged by the move from the administration.
Either Congress has the authority to send a subpoena and require full compliance, or what we have been doing for the past 12 months is a fool's errand. And we never should have discussed contempt of Congress. Either we have the rights of the documents and we should get all of them, or we have no business here.
Congressman, thanks for your time today. I know it's been a busy day. What was your reaction this morning when you heard that the administration was invoking executive privilege?
Well, I wasn't fully surprised. I knew something would come up at the last minute. I had hoped it would be the documents as opposed to an assertion of privilege. But, you know, I've tried cases for 16 years, and I guess I had 100 and so jury trials. Something always comes up at the last minute. So that did not surprise me. I think from a tactical standpoint, it's difficult to explain to folks why you are asserting privilege 8 months after you received the subpoena. You would think that if these documents were privileged or protected, that they would have been privileged and protected 8 months ago and that you would have asserted it then.
What critical questions do you believe would be answered if these tens of thousands of documents were turned over?
Well, you know, I don't know. It could be, and I've said this in an effort to be fair, the documents could exonerate, could exculpate the Department of Justice. It could prove the notion that we heard from our colleagues on the other side of the aisle today that nothing was done wrong, and once again, this is all Bush's fault, which seemed to be the other mantra. Or what I think is probably more likely, there's something in those documents that the Department of Justice and the White House do not want us, and correspondingly you, to know about. And again, keep in mind, what we did today is not sanctioning Eric Holder because of Fast and Furious. We're sanctioning Eric Holder because he won't give us the documents so we can answer that question and other questions you have about Fast and Furious.
Congressman, yesterday, of course, was this much highly touted meeting between the chairman and the attorney general. Based on what the chairman had to say in session today, or perhaps conversations he may have had with him out of the committee room, what was accomplished yesterday? Why was the meeting held if there was no intent to divulge any more information?
Well, that's a great question, and one that's probably better directed to the attorney general. The notion that Daryl Issa had his mind made up is patently false. I talked to him repeatedly yesterday, and I'm among my other limitations, I'm not good at reading people's minds. I think he actually believed that there would be a good faith effort to comply yesterday afternoon, and that this hearing this afternoon or this morning would be postponed and perhaps postponed indefinitely. The notion that we were heck-bent on holding the Attorney General for the United States in contempt of Congress is just false. I have had extended conversations with a majority of the folks on my side, Pat Meehan, Jason Chaffetz, Jim Jordan, Daryl Issa. I said it this morning, this is a sad day for me. It's not a political victory. It's a sad day when a department I used to work for can't even respect the rule of law. What's a win is to get the documents, to tell the Terry family, to tell your listeners, to tell everyone else, this is how it happened, this is how we know it will never happen again. Answers and accountability and acceptance of responsibility. We're no closer to being able to provide the answers today than we were this time yesterday. That's the loss.
Brian Terry, of course, the U.S. Border Patrol agent killed by guns, walked across the border and allowed to be in the hands of Mexican drug cartels, eventually used to kill him. And Congressman, you mentioned some of the Democratic arguments at the hearing. I just want to tick off a couple and ask you if any of them give you pause. I know Carolyn Maloney was talking about addressing reforms rather than issuing a contempt citation against the Attorney General. Others said this took away from time that could have been designed to create job legislation. There, all the way down to this is happening because the Attorney General happens to be black. Did any of that catch you by surprise, catch you as something you needed to chew over for a while?
No. You know, Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish existentialist, wrote a beautiful book called Either Or. And the notion that you have to have one and you can't have both is wrong. You can both bring the former Attorney General Mukasey, you can bring ATF Director Melson, you can bring them all before the committee. That still does not absolve the Attorney General, the current Attorney General, of a responsibility to comply with a valid subpoena. So, you know, Pat Meehan used the word red herring. That's what lawyers say is an attempt to change the conversation. What we did today was not a contempt citation for the Department of Justice because of a botched gun investigation. That may come later, but that's not what we did today. Today would have been avoided simply by giving us what we asked for. Now, I want you to reverse the scenario. I want you to assume that last night the Attorney General gave us half the documents we asked for, but not all of them. Then you would have me on your show, and you would be asking me, what's in the other half of those documents that y'all don't care enough to fight to get? What are they hiding? What is it that you don't want to know? So there's no way we can win other than to say this has nothing to do with politics. If this were a Republican Attorney General, I would be as tough, if not tougher, on that woman or man. This is about respect for the rule of law. His race is totally irrelevant. That wasn't brought up today. It's been brought up. It's been suggested in the past. That's, you know, as Alan West, my friend from Florida, said, that is the last card in the deck. And when you're playing that card, you got nothing else.
We're talking with South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy. And Congressman, just want to play for our listeners another portion of your statement in the committee hearing and perhaps get you to elaborate on it a little bit.
If he was not part of the drafting of the February 4th letter, if he did not know about Fast and Furious before Brian Terry was murdered, if he did not approve of the wiretap applications, then what in the world is he asserting executive privilege for? He's either part of it or he's not. If he's part of it, then we've had a series of witnesses that have misled this committee. And if he's not part of it, then he's got no business asserting executive privilege, and I would yield back.
And you're referring to the president there, at whether or not he even has the right to assert executive privilege in this case. Your basic contention being that if he does have direct involvement and knowledge of this case, then those who have testified have not testified truthfully. And if he doesn't, he doesn't have this power. So what options do you as a committee and as a Congress have to figure out which of those is the scenario?
Well, I know what the scenario is. I was walking actually with a Democrat, but believe it or not, we do get along. I was walking back from the committee over to the Longworth House office building with a colleague on the other side. I don't think for one second the President of the United States knew about Fast and Furious. I think he told Univision the truth back in March of 2011. He didn't approve it. He didn't know about it. So if you didn't know about it, and people weren't giving you updates, and you weren't part of the decision-making process, then what privilege are you asserting? The Attorney General himself said he's never had a conversation with the president about Fast and Furious. Executive privilege protects communications with the executive, with the chief executive, so he doesn't have to constantly live in fear that a conversation he has is going to be repeated back or Congress is going to subpoena it. You can get really good advice when people don't worry about what they're telling you. Well, he hasn't had any conversations about Fast and Furious, has he? Because he certainly told us he hasn't. And the Attorney General says he hasn't talked about it. And we all know, I would be shocked if the president had any role in drafting the February 4th, 2011 letter. I haven't heard one scintilla of evidence that he was part of that. I'm not even sure the Attorney General was part of that. So, you know, I guess it was Shakespeare that said, you doth protest too much. This is not about what Eric Holder did with respect to knowing about Fast and Furious before Brian Terry's death. This is about the Department of Justice, of which he happens to be the leader. there are people who, in my judgment, should not be at the Department of Justice anymore. It's either his job to find them or it's our job to find them. And he hasn't done a very good job.
If the president hasn't used executive privilege in the way it was intended, in other words, he's got no communications of his own to protect, and so it should not be applied, is there a way for you to challenge that, or is it just something that you've got to live with?
No, I mean, if you live long enough, you can challenge it. I mean, there are three different ways to pursue contempt. There's the inherent power of the House, which is not the route we're going. There's criminal contempt, which is a referral to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. And that's what, interestingly, some of my same colleagues who are arguing against contempt today, that's what they did to the Bush administration. And there's civil contempt, which winds up in the courts. And, you know, we've got, what, a handful of months before the general election, and we'll either have another 4 years of this administration or we'll have a new administration. I mean, the assertion of executive privilege essentially ties this up for several months. But as Chairman Issa said, we're also not going away. If you won't give us the documents, some of the documents we've gotten have come from other sources. So don't think for a second that people aren't still giving us information. This was not – what happened today was not about Fast and Furious per se. It was about the refusal to give us documents, whether it was documents on a parade – or documents on the death of a Border Patrol agent, from a legal standpoint, doesn't matter. He doesn't get to decide what he's going to give us.
And last 30 seconds here, Congressman, based on what happened today, I'm guessing that the contempt citation, which already had the votes to pass, will probably pass by even more. Do you expect a substantial number of Democrats to go along?
Well, I don't know. I would hope that they would view this as a respect for rule of law or a criminal justice matter and not a political matter. But I also am not naive. I know that they will get a lot of pressure to toe the party line. And it takes a lot of courage to break from your party, no matter what party you're in. I don't think everything has to be political. I don't think everything has to be politicized. We have a dead Border Patrol agent, hundreds of dead Mexican citizens, thousands of weapons unaccounted for. If that can't generate a little bit of bipartisanship, I don't know what ever will.
Congressman, I know it's been a long day for you. Thank you for spending some time with us very much.
My pleasure. Thanks. Have a good afternoon.
You too, sir. South Carolina Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy is a member of both the House Judiciary and Oversight and Government Reform Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.